You're listening to The Leonard LoPage Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Henri Alleg, a French-Algerian journalist who supported Algerian independence, was imprisoned in June 1957 and subjected to brutal torture during the Battle of Algiers. The Question, his account of his experiences, was published in France and then banned the next year. And now, almost 50 years later, the book is being reissued in this country by the University of Nebraska Press. And I'm very pleased to welcome Henri Alleg to my show today. Hello.
Thank you.
What is the question that your book draws its title from?
Well, you know, in French, the word question means question as a question, and also it can mean torture. So that the...
Anyone reading a book and seeing question?
Even some people in France won't understand the word question. It was the word used in the ancient times, in the times before French Revolution, to give the question to someone meant he would be interrogated under torture. So it was a good title. I didn't find it. The publisher found it, because it meant torture, and also it related to the fact that during these hours of torture, the only thing the torturer asked was one question.
Again and again. Was the French public aware that torture was being used by the government during the Algerian War of Independence?
No. I think the majority of the French people heard what the government said at the time, that it never had been a real fact, and it was only used as a propaganda tool against the French and the French army, because everyone knows that the French constitution and the French tradition are against the use of such methods. And in the same time, they knew they would say that the honor of the French army would not accept such things.
So when your book was released, obviously this is the first time many people even learned that there was a possibility. Did many just deny it? Is that why your book was banned?
In a way, it must be said that the French did not know, not only about the war, I mean the vast the public, but also that torture was not something new that came with the war. It was known before. The way of giving justice in a colonized country like Algeria meant that every man that had something with the justice, especially a political man, would be submitted to torture. Everyone knew that in Algeria, but of course in France they didn't mention that.
Would that have been true in Indochina as well, or was Algeria a special case?
No, it was true also in Indochina, but in Algeria it was different. First, because the country is nearer to France than it was at the time, what was called Indochina, and also...
The French thought of Algeria as a province of France, in fact.
Yes, that's what I wanted to say. It was not considered as a foreign country that had been colonized, but, of course, as a part of France. So, of course, how can you have a law for three provinces, they call them departments, and another law for the other part of the country? That's why it was much different in Algeria, more important in Algeria than in any other country.
Well, of course, the French may have thought of it as a department of France, but most Algerians did not, and that's where the conflict arose.
Yes, of course. Not when you say most Algerians, you can say the entire people of Algeria. They knew that it was not a department, that nothing in common. The laws, the way the authorities behaved, a country called a French department in which you speak another language, a country in which you see that the laws are the same everywhere, and it's not true. The salaries are different, the law is different, the vote is different. But nevertheless, it went on, and people who did not accept that, of course, had to face repression.
So and what happened when your book was published in 1958? I said it was banned. Did it create a bombshell first?
Well, it did create a great repercussion in France because, as you know, or telling you, I was the editor of the only daily newspaper that spoke, that tried to speak of independence and which appeared as the flag of people who did not accept the lie, not only the Algerian people, but even the French people. They were French people. Not, we didn't call them French, we called them European, because these people were not all of them of French extract. They were Spanish, Italians, and all people who came from the Mediterranean. And even there was a great Jewish population in Algeria, and they had been naturalized French about 70 years before. So they were counted as French, but they had a special situation.
And you came out of that Jewish population.
Pardon?
You came out of that Jewish population.
No, I'm Jewish myself, but I'm not. I was not born in Algeria. I was born outside.
Now, so you were publishing this newspaper in French?
Yes.
For
there
people
were,
who
there were some parts in Arabic, but most of the readers knew French, and of course they accepted to read in French because the population was 90% illiterate, and the people who could read in French.
What reason did the government give for banning the book when it was published in France?
Well, they said that this book was just a pack of slanders against France, against the French army, and it should not be published. So the great mistake and stupidity they had in banning the book. The book was published, and then it had such an impact in France that they took the decision of forbidding it, but it was in a way too late. So it was a great publicity given to the book, and a journalist, well-known journalist, said, "I hope that Mr. Alleg and Mr. Sartre, who wrote about that,
they
will thank the government for the free publicity it gave to the book."
And then it was made available again. Where were you when you wrote this book? Were you in prison?
Well, of course, I was arrested. I was tortured, kept under the power of the paratroopers for about a month in the place of torture, and then sent to a concentration camp where I stayed about a month, and then I was sent to prison. But that appeared as something very good, because when you were in prison, you had at least this a sort of security that you didn't have if you were not under prison.
My guess is Henri Alleg, A-L-L-E-G. His book, The Question, has just been reissued in this country. It was originally published in 1958 in France and then translated and published in here, but now it's been reissued with a new afterword by the author, and that's by the University of Nebraska Press. So what was the question they were asking you when they were torturing you?
Well, you know, I was an underground militant, and of course I was also a member of the Algerian Communist Party. I was the editor of that newspaper. So they wanted to know to whom, with whom I talked, who, the question, which is the title of the book, started with, tell us first who gave you a shelter. And, of course, the idea was to, first of all, know that. And if I answered to that question, their idea was the road was open to other questions. So questions on what I was doing, what I knew, the people I knew, and all sorts of things related with the fight of the Algerian people.
Now, I assume they first just ask you questions. Later, that escalated into torture when you didn't give them answers.
Yes. Well, yes, and this was an ordinary custom. In the place where I was kept, it was really a sort of workshop of torture. At every level, people were tortured with different groups of paratroopers that would operate day and night, especially at night, because they would go to, they would come in an in a Algerian area, and open the doors of the houses and take everyone. They were not looking for one person or another person. They thought, and this was the, their orientation, their tactics, that 9 out of 10 Algerian had a heart that was for the independence.
And so, had secrets.
Pardon?
And also had secrets that they might want to discover.
Not at all, that they could have things known through torturing everyone. So some of them knew nothing and they were tortured, and other knew. So the question was simple for these people who were arrested. You're an Algerian. Well, you're Algerian. You must be with the Front of Liberation. Don't say you're not, because if you say you're not a good Algerian. So you're a good Algerian, but you don't say much. You don't do much. The only thing you do is to give some money to the collector of money. So it's nothing. It's not much. Just say who to whom you give this money. So if the man accepts, of course, they will afterwards say, well, give us the name. Tell us where we can find him. And if the man does accept, they would put a hood on him, take him to the streets of his district and say, now, no one knows you. You will tell us where and when you give the money.
My guest is Henri Alleg. His book, The Question, has just been reissued in this country after nearly 50 years by the University of Nebraska Press. We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Henri Alleg, A-L-L-E-G. His book, The Question, about his experiences being tortured by the French military in Algeria in 1957, has been reissued in this country with the same preface by Jean-Paul Sartre, but with a new afterword by the author, by the University of Nebraska Press. When I've talked about some dictators, I'm not saying France was a dictatorship, but when I've talked about some dictators who engage in this kind of activity, it's often been conjectured that they were less interested in getting information than in sending a message to other people, because the tortured person would go home and say, I was tortured, and then other people might very well understand that they too could be made an object lesson of. Do you think that was the case here, or do you think that the paratroopers were really trying to get solid information from you?
I think you're right. There are two reasons for that. The political reason for the French government and military to accept torture and use it is, of course, the explanation that is given that you can have very important information through that way. But this is not the real reason, because as a general said, the French general who died a few months ago, asked if you think that it was useful. He said no. He said no, and he said it was General Massu, the head of the forces of repression. He said no. He said we could very well have done without it. It was not necessary. But the second question, the second cause, it's what you said. In torturing people, of course, many young people especially would like to join the fight against colonialism. But if they know that they don't only risk their lives, which they accept, but they risk terrible sufferances that would take them, that would hinder them. And this, I think, was a political thought of the people who used torture, not only during the war, but even, as I said before, before the war, during the repression against civilians, political, who worked for the independence of Algeria.
Now, I was surprised when I read that from General Massu, because in the film, The Battle of Algiers, the big break for the French comes when the torture works and they break a prisoner and are able to find the hiding place of leaders of the resistance. Well, torture ever work?
Does what?
Does torture... I mean, many people say that torture just simply gets you the answer you want to get because the person will tell you whatever you want to know if he's in enough pain. But doesn't torture sometimes work and actually break a prisoner?
I think it sometimes, as you say, works. But the real question is not torture or not torture. The real question is, does this kind of work, of war, work for what it is supposed to work for, that is to break the resistance movement and to finish with the people who fight against. On the contrary, sometimes torture help young people to replace their father or their uncle that died in such a war. Same thing as in the resistance movement in France. There's a song, a French song, very well-known song of that time, that when someone falls, others will come from. And that also was the result of the torture.
I'm sure that many people in France were shocked when they learned that there was torture, because they remembered the tortures that had been conducted on French people by the Nazis when they were occupying France. Well, I've been avoiding asking you about the nature of the torture. What did they do to you?
Well, you know, it's very classic and known now. First of all, electricity, use of electricity, then waterboarding.
You were waterboarded, which yes. Our vice president has said sometimes is, Vice President Dick Cheney said that that sometimes that is the appropriate way of eliciting information.
Yes, but first of all, it's a very dangerous way of asking questions to a prisoner. Many people die, and I myself fainted three times before they ceased. So waterboarding is also a torture, because it brings you to the brink of death. And this is a terrible sensation.
You feel like you're going to drown. Many people who've gone through traumatic experiences try to block them out and don't talk about them. But you were writing about these experiences almost immediately after you experienced them. because you wanted them to stay alive in you, or because you felt it was too important not to suppress?
Well, when I was in prison, I didn't think of writing such a thing. First of all, it was really something very difficult to write in prison, because you were searched every time. It was forbidden to write, of course. It was, and of course, if they had seen what I was writing, the leaflets would not could have been smuggled out. So it was not my idea to do it, but it was the idea of my friend and lawyer, who, when I told him about what I had endured, he said, "You must write it." I said, "But you don't know what sort of prison we are in. It's impossible to write. I have to be very cautious, even in my letters, because every letter you write will be seen by the warden here. So, and they will take it, and maybe if I start speaking of that, not only will I have to pay for this trial, but the two friends or anyone who is with me or in the cell will also be punished. So do I have the right to drag them in such a thing?"
So how did you do it?
So they agreed to do it, and I wrote two pages. Four pages, two leaflets. And I wrote them in a very, very tiny writing. And in the same time, I started always what I wrote with a few paragraphs concerning my situation, the way I wanted to give my lawyer some arguments. So, in fact, they shouldn't have read that, but I knew that they would read it if they found it, because I hid everything. So when I got these three pages, I would hide it in a shoe, in a slip, everywhere I could. And of course, it was a great risk, because I could have been searched and they could have found it. So it took some time to get it out of prison. The only way of doing it was to get to the place where you could see your lawyer. And under the table, let a paper drop or something like that.
Oh, this is all very dangerous.
Pardon?
That must have been all very dangerous.
It was very dangerous.
My guest is Henri Alleg, Alleg. His book, The Question, has just been reissued in this country by University of Nebraska Press. It's translated by... Who did the translation? John Calder, the wonderful translator, and has a preface by Jean-Paul Sartre and a new afterword by the author. So how did you get out of prison? You were on the run for a while, weren't you?
Well, I was for nearly 5 years, 4 years and 8 or 9 months. And after 3 years of prison in Algeria, and they kept me in Algeria in a prison which was not thought of as a prison where prisoners would stay. They would stay until they came to the judges. But as...
What they call a holding pen in this country.
Yes, yes. So usually people stay there for a few months, and then they are sent to special jail. But I spent more than 3 years there, and this was really exceptional. And I remember that I had a number, of course. They didn't call you by your name, but they called you with your number. I was number 9923. But as many other prisoners came in, because prisoners inside the prison were judged and they went away, and so many 923 prisoners came, so I had a special type. I was called 9923A for ancient. were about a dozen, not more than that, in prison with an A.
But then you got out and you wound up going into Switzerland and then Czechoslovakia. Did you escape or did they?
Yes, I did escape. I escaped from the prison, from the hospital of Rennes, where there was a special section for prisoners. So I escaped from there, and then I spent about 2 months in France with friends who gave me a shelter, then to Switzerland. My idea was to go to Tunisia, to Tunis, and then there in Tunis help the Algerian government.
Well, when the Algeria gained its independence, I'd imagine your book was published and you were something of a national hero.
Well, I wouldn't say a national hero, but my name, of course, was known. But it was known also before the independence. And there was a great confidence in our paper because, of course, the paper had been suppressed at the time of the war. And then some of our friends, many of them nationalists and communists, had gone to the mountains and fought the war. There were not many people writing. We had about 30 or 35. And out of these people who were journalists, about 10 of them died in the war. So the people knew that it was not only words that these people meant in fighting for a new Algeria, that they really were involved even in the fight. So that's why after the war, of course, when the paper was published again, it was a great thing for Algerians. And after about maybe a month of publishing, Alger Républicain, which is the title of the paper, became the first paper in Algeria and even in North Africa, the biggest publishing press. It was our paper.
Now, I'm assuming that the book is being reissued now because people see it as having relevance to the current situation in Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib. Was that the thinking?
Yes, I think that, of course, people are always interested in history, even if it's very far from the country. But there is similarity between the fight that the French government had against the Algerian, and the same fight that is going on today against the Iraqi people.
We don't have a lot of time, but there have been a number of documentaries recently concerning Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo in which the people who are accused of engaging in torture present themselves as being otherwise decent people who slipped into what they did because they thought it was what was expected of them by the higher-ups. Do you think that that's true, or do you think that the ability, that there's a sadistic streak in someone, or there has to be a sadistic streak in order to allow him to inflict that kind of pain on a fellow human?
No, I think it's not a real and honest question. The fact is, it's not the first importance is not thinking of if torture is legal or not legal, moral or not or immoral. I think the birth thing is the nature of the war that is led. And then after that, is it possible to think that an army can win a war with such methods? The example was given that it was not possible by the Algerian war itself, by the way the French army and the French government acted at that time. And I will only say a word about these people who did that. There were afterwards, they came to different countries where they were needed. For example, in Latin America, these people were used as counselors and instructors, etc. And they were used even in the States, in Fort Bragg, the Ozares, General Ozares, who has now been condemned for apology of torture in France. This man has been for a year and a half, I think. He's been an instructor in Fort Bragg at the time of the war of Vietnam for the American troops. So it is, there is no intelligence and no results in using such immoral ways of trying to win a war.
We have to leave it there. I want to thank you so much for being with us, Henri Alleg. His book, The Question, now being reissued 50 years after its original publication by the University of Nebraska Press. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you to you.